Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Fellow Americans.
He's been sick. And I think his wife is going to bring him some chicken soup. I know it's hard to defend an unpopular policy every once in a while. There's this guy from the CIA, and he's creeping around Laurel Canyon.
Fine little girl, she waits for me. She's as plastic as she can be. She paints her face with plastic glue and wrecks her hair with some shampoo.
Plastic people.
I don't know. Sometimes I just get tired of you, honey. It's your hairspray or something.
Plastic people, oh baby, you're such a drag.
I hear the sound of marching feet down Sunset Boulevard to Crescent Heights, and there at Pandora's Box, we are confronted with a vast quantity of plastic people.
Take a day and walk around. Watch the Nazis run your town. Then go home and check yourself. You think we're singing about someone else, but you're
plastic people. Oh, baby, now you're such a drag.
Cabbage is a vegetable, makes no
drive. You dream about, you think only of, you read. You are plastic, purple prancing,
plastic.
of all the worries people seem to find, and how they're in a hurry to complicate their minds by chasing after money and dreams that can't come true. I'm glad that we are different, we've better things to do. May others plan their future, I'm busy loving you.
1, 2, 3, 4.
As long as I'm with you, we'll take it nice and easy and use my simple plan. You'll be my loving woman, I'll be your loving man. We'll take the most from living at pleasure while we can.
2, 3, 4.
Sha la 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 la, live for today. Sha la 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 la, live for today.
And don't worry about tomorrow. Inside of me, baby, please come close to me. I got to have your love, please,
please,
please, please.
Give me some love,
give me some love,
give me some love,
give me some love,
baby, give me some love,
give me some love.
Somehow, oh, someplace, I know participants are now unmuted.
I'm so tempted to play some more amazing music, but we had a pretty phenomenal Twin Peaks. That was a featured song at the end of the first 2 hours Sunday night, and Michael Brown sent me that. Okay, so we got something buzzing that might be Chad. Yeah, it seems to be Chad. Chad, can you fix that? Any understanding of that? Hum, Chad? Okay, well, anyways, I got a few things to say before we can talk. So you can interrupt, but I have to put Chad on mute. Okay, so the opening episode of Twin Peaks was absolutely astounding. It was so literally me and Ian and Carolyn and Ian. It was unbelievable. Un-fucking-believable. Okay, so you notice it begins with Dale Cooper, who I always said was Bob Marshall on CKLN. And at the end of the series, the second season, Bob Marshall, Dale Cooper slash Bob Marshall, gets taken over by Bob, which would be me, I guess. And that's what we're left with. And he says, he's mumbling sort of evilly. He goes, Eddie, which is Carolyn's middle name. And there's also a character, a girlfriend, former girlfriend of Dale Cooper named Carolyn, and another girlfriend named Annie. So it's all Carolyn's names. So here is the opening scene. So what's happened in 25 years with Dale Cooper possessed by Bob, the evil Bob or the bad Bob or whatever it is, and we wait 25 years, and we got a hint of David Lynch in his little prelude talking to the dead Leland Palmer and Laura Palmer and the living, whatever that, I forget the wife of Ed is, her name. So we know there's some kind of media trip going on. So the opening scene, 25 years later, is Dale Cooper slash Bob Marshall, but not possessed by Bob, interviewing Ion, the giant. And the giant tells him ionic stuff. So I caught that as soon as it started to happen. I mean, he's there being interviewed and told what's going to happen, blah, 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 just like Ion. And then a few scenes later, we see the new Dale Cooper possessed by Bob. And he's looking like a long-haired gangster kind of guy. He's very cold. And he eventually sits down with his fellow criminal colleagues. And one of the colleagues makes the mistake of saying, well, I can get you that information if you need it. So this really ticks Dale Cooper slash Bob off, and he makes the first point that Ion ever made. He did it with clients in their first sessions. He did it with us. You do not use the word need when talking to Iondom. You cannot. And Ion took N-E-E-D and punned it into K-N-E-A-D, kneading the dough, right, making bread, which would lead to the living bread. But the very first, you guys might remember that, the very first, you know, semantic argument from Ion was, you do not use the word need. You do not, does not exist. It's bad, bad form. And this is what the first seed of the Dale Cooper Possessed by Bob, he chews out his criminal colleague for saying, he says, I don't need anything. I don't need information. I don't need this. I want it. And he emphasizes the want. So I go, holy shit. This is like the first 5 minutes of the fucking show. They're literally doing us. Or me. I don't know about you, Michael, but we'll see. We don't know. There's no finish line yet. But it's looking really good. And then what happens? Then there's this whole. Then we find out the thesis is that Dale Cooper split into a Dale Cooper who wasn't possessed by Bob and trapped in the Black Lodge for 25 years. No time! For 25 years he's sitting there. And the other Dale Cooper becomes a Bob-possessed guy. And that is me and Carolyn in Secret Council 10 assassination mode. That was literally our past. The ancient Bob, the bad Bob. The Bob who worked with the Reinhard Galen network that you read in my diaries. So look at that. He presents an accurate presentation of me, but I don't. He's possessed by Bob. But what's going to happen? A new Bob comes in, and that's Ion. We have to see how Lynch resolves this dialectic. So it turns out that it's time for Bob of Bob, the guy who possessed. Leland Palmer is now possessed one half of Dale Cooper, or the other Dale Cooper, or a parallel world Dale Cooper. Fucking Lynch, he hasn't got one original thought in his fucking head. He just listens to our show and he writes it down and films it. And so he has, okay, time to bring Bob back, they say, to the Black Lodge. And therefore, the good Dale Cooper, so-called good guy, who's been sitting there in no time, just like he did a riff ride, went off, and everybody else thought it was 25 years. For him, it was just a few minutes. And he asked to, hey, can I go now? And they say, well, you can't go until we get Bob back. So the first 2 hours ended with the drama of whether Dale can, whether they'll get Bob back before Dale gets out. And I think the last scene is a Bob, after he killed his colleagues, is driving down the road. Now, here's the next thing. Well, they kind of released Cooper, it seems. So it looks like they got Bob back. So Cooper goes through this Black Lodge runaround with the other bad Cooper, but the original doppelganger. And everybody's talking about his doppelganger, which is the occult version of us having more than one body in other worlds. So what happens? Finally, Cooper gets blown out of the Black Lodge. And where does he end up? In a strange environment, Iondum's factory, which already had a whole scene earlier in the first hour that led to the murder of this copulating couple and by something that came into the machine. So it emphasizes a fucking aperture looking over New York City. This is where we came from. And Cooper floats through the air, lands near the building where this strange secret machine is, and he enters it through the fucking aperture. We're talking aperture science, people, here. Fucking aperture science. And again, Lynch, I have to sue him. We're going to have to take this to Supreme Court to literally rip off the guff. Never happened before. We're going to have to send the president set a precedent here. You can't rip off guff talk. Guff ideology, guff imagery, guff products. So they're showing the cold fusion device, and they're appropriately showing it has other dimensional problems, other dimensional factors. Like it kills people if you don't fuck with you. If you act wrong in front of it, you disobey life, it kills you. So this is the kind of problems we've had with the cold play machine.
Well, yeah, that sounds like what chromosome 14 can do.
What does it do?
It will... If you let go of your non-physical, if you're not connected with your non-physical, it will assume your desires.
And a negative addictive spiral.
Right.
Chromosome 14 brings in pleasure, and it can be non-physical bliss pleasure,
yes,
or fucked up, disconnected, addictive pleasure.
Addictive,
it does activate your bliss, your pleasure.
Right.
So, yes, that it does show that aspect, that you can't fuck around. See, the couple violated the rules and then started making out. So they got killed very viciously.
Well, what's the rule against making out?
They were told, the guy who had a job to just watch the machine and see if anything showed up in it, and nothing was happening, and this girl was after him, so she comes up. and the security won't let her in. So that's that. Then she comes back later, and security has strangely disappeared.
Mm.
So he falls for her, takes her up, and shows her the secret machine, which he's not supposed to even leave. So he got his comeuppance pretty quickly.
Was she a spy or something?
We don't know yet what she was supposed to. She got killed, though.
They got
knifed up. Very horrible scene of this thing. This vibration comes, this resonance, this otherworldly thing comes out of the machine and then stabs them 1,000 times in the face, and chest, and everywhere. A disgusting scene.
Mm.
So there is a very accurate presentation of our technology, why we're very careful in unleashing it and releasing it. It's a big process, partly involved with Ion's absence right now. So you got that scene, and let's see any other factors in there. Okay, I'll let you guys talk. What did you guys notice, whoever saw it?
Well, they did say Bob 3 times.
When Armless Mike, no, that was a good point. Yeah, Mike without the arm used to work with Bob. And that was featured during 89, 90, 91 when Mike and Dyer and I were on CKLN. So there was one arm Mike and Bob. He has some interesting things. He says to Cooper in the lodge, is this the past or is this the future? You know, there. And you know, another thing, Michael, the giant, I think, says time and time again. That is the name of Nelson Sall's record company that released my albums, Time Again Productions. Mm-hmm. And now we're coming back, so it's time and time again, time for time again. And there was a couple of other sentences in there. The wow, Bob, wow was appropriate, definitely coded talk. And then the number, what was it, 230 and the number 430 or something, a bunch of numbers referred to.
430 came up, and then 253 came up more than once.
Right.
253 was the time that he was pulled back into the lodge.
Yeah, 253... Yeah, what?
253 is when the doppelganger Cooper was pulled back into the lodge. At that time, so when the clock hit that time, is when he was. And the, you know, remember that whole scene with the cigarette lighter and the, all the electrical current coming through there?
No. first of all, when was Cooper brought back? You're talking about 25 years ago?
No, I'm talking. Have you just seen the first two, Bob?
Oh, you've seen 3 and 4. I haven't seen 3 and 4, no. Okay,
okay,
so you're ahead
okay,
of me.
Okay, okay.
All right, shut
okay,
up. So shut the fuck up with that shit, man. I'm still a nice guy, but I don't want to discipline the recruits here.
Okay.
I'm like the guy in Twin Peaks. What do you think of that mean, cold Dale Cooper?
The mean, cold Dale hair. Cooper? Yeah.
Yeah, the guy in the first hour killed his colleagues and all that. Killed everybody.
Yes, yes.
Killed
yes.
Michael Hastings' wife. And, he never explained it. He just killed people. And, well, the girl, his girlfriend, temporary girlfriend, that sort of knew she screwed up a bit. But, so we're going to hear more about 253, and okay, that's, but you're talking about Cooper coming back to the lodge in episode 3 or 4? Something like that?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Okay, so we won't go into that. I wonder if that's available on PrimeWire.
It is. That's where I saw it, Bob.
They're already posted the next couple. Holy shit, I'm behind.
Yeah.
Fucking way behind for the big show. But look, let's just focus on the first 2 hours. Did you recognize that was Cooper talking to Ion in the beginning, talking to the giant? Did you recognize the Dale Cooper using need? No, you didn't. You didn't notice these points, did you?
No, these points that you bring up are amazing, Bob, of this need and want is so clear when you say it. And when I saw it, I did notice it, but I didn't notice it like that. And also the cold fusion and how this guy gets tested. He has a very simple task, and he actually gets tested, and it's what happens when you blow your test, you know. And Iron says, if you fail your test, you're going to get wiped out. And
you're going to get what? What happens? If you fail your test,
wiped
what?
Out.
You
get... Yeah, you
wiped
out. The doppelganger is a bit like Iron towards little men in a way.
Yes. Yeah.
It's that kind of, yeah.
That's the doppelganger that works with when they showed flashback. It was giggling, laughing with the Bob character.
Yeah.
you know, at one point, the evil looking guy.
The Bob inside the lodge seems to be conducting everything.
Yes,
in the one arm Bob.
Yeah.
He's conducting.
Right. Now, let's see. Some of the dialogue is literally ionic. They're always talking about no time. And there were a couple other sentences in there. I wondered if I should write them down. I wonder if someone else would remember them, but I didn't. But you noticed. Okay, so they show the arm.
Is this the past? The giant, I think, kept saying, too, is this the past or is this the future?
No, that was one-eyed Mark. One-armed Mark. One-armed Mike. Who's it? You laughing at me? You screwing up the syllables, Carol? Yeah, okay. The one-armed Ike, no, Mike, takes the Cooper, before he's going to be released, shows him the evolution of the arm. And it's a bare tree with branches, lots of arms, right? With a blob of flesh that talks on top of its head. Or it is its head, the tree's head.
Yes, and it was very – I can't remember the things it said. It said Bob, Bob, Bob. The tree said Bob. After it said 2-5, it said 2-5-3, and then it said Bob, Bob, Bob.
Right, really emphasize. Now, that would be evolution of technology. That's social mortar. And Ayn says, go to Bob for social mortar talk. So that totally fits. The arm. See, Mike says, this is the arm. This is the evolution of the arm because he lost his arm. So his own arm involved in this electrified tree with a ball of crude-looking flesh on the top of the tree that spoke, that communicated, or resonated. Didn't have a mouth. But it said Bob, Bob, Bob. It's the Bob world, the good word, the social mortar part. And once you're a Senate, you got to deal with social mortar. So that's literally how – and he's using a McLuhanist point that the media is an extension of body parts. So this guy's arm got extended into this electrified arm, right? You get that, Michael? That's literally McLuhanism.
Yeah. The extension.
Where's Chad? Chad, he was on, and then he had to get his phone fixed, and then he disconnected. He's not back. But if he hasn't watched the show, then he would probably has nothing to say. Only those that saw the show should be talking at this point. So let's see. What else happened, Michael? The whole thing in Buckthorn. Okay, so obviously Michael Hastings is another victim like Leland Palmer. He got possessed by Bob and killed his affair woman, right? Cut her head off.
Yeah.
We assume he's been possessed by Bob.
No, but that's a confusing part because it's almost like they're saying there's different bodies there or something.
Yes, what that's were they right. Saying two about... bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the head of the woman. So he may have killed two people and then put them together. That's what's left of men and women today. You know, the chemical body. It's an obsolete, you know, surplus flesh. Half female, half male. So that's why, you know, transgendered, gay, sex talk takes over because everybody's obsolete, decapitated flesh, right? So he's showing the effect of the new environment. And it's also 25 years ago. Okay, when was 25 years ago? 1990? Yeah, 1990. 25 years ago is up to now. The show ended in 91. Okay, two seasons. So 25 years is 2016. That's the shift caused by and represented by Trump. So they're talking about this shift, and it happened. And like on my chart made in mid-90s, I said lockdown by rule is from 1990 to 2020. That's 30 years. So Cooper picked up on that. I mean Lynch, by saying we're going to have a 25-year hiatus before what's going to happen around Bob will be obvious. So there's someone calling, Carolyn. No, that's for you. That's personal. Let me see. So the timing of the 25 years is good. And Lynch, through the years, said he wasn't going to do it again. That's what the actor said. He said they want him to continue Twin Peaks eventually, and he said he wouldn't. But he had that line in there. She says, Laura comes to Cooper in the Black Lodge and says, I will see you in 25 years.
25
which
years.
Is pretty well.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what happened. And so it's so timely for now with all that's happening in the world. Trump looks like an evil Bob to many people, right? He looks like an evil Bob unleashed on the world. And that's a very simple interpretation of what's going on. It's very interesting that he didn't bow to the Saudi king, though the naysayers say, oh, he curtsied a little bit, but he didn't bow, and they've just praised him all over the world. Now, in the May-Brussels scenario, you go to the May-Brussels quadrant, Trump coming out of the neo-Nazi Reinhard Galen, Roy Cohen network that propped up McCarthy in the 50s, they have always been aligned with Saudi Arabia and certain parts, the Zionist part of Israel, and where else, the other place, and the Vatican. These are all connections in the May-Brussels world of the Fourth Reich, that Trump represents the Fourth Reich, and he's integrating everybody of that period. That's how May-Brussels would look at this. And maybe Lionel Rolfe, the guy I'm presently interviewing that posted, posted his stuff. Anybody listen to Lionel Rolfe yet? Not yet. No. Too busy with Twin Peaks.
No.
Okay, so another way, Dr. Beter said that the Bolsters, when they took over the Rockefellers and the Pentagon in the late 70s, early 80s, they were going to isolate America and create a fortress America. Now, they basically did that through the alienating wars and all the crap they did for the last 30 years, almost 40 years. But to build a wall, as Ian says, to keep Americans imprisoned, to build a wall is a final, you know, conclusion of the Bolshevik plan for America. So on that level, Trump looks like a beater dupe of the Bolsheviks. So if you only knew that, and you didn't know Ion, you'd be quite confused by what's going on with Trump. You would be informed on a certain level if you knew Beter and May-Brussels or LaRouche, but still you wouldn't know what actually is different, not categorizable in human knowledge terms, where Trump is the seventh trumpet. And apparently the way he's acting out there, the Egyptian president says, you are one hell of a guy, man. You're Mr. Impossible. You could just pull this off. And I don't know what they mean, maybe peace in the Middle East. So he got complimented by the Egyptian president. They treated him like a king, is how they said, in Saudi Arabia. And I don't know what he made the Jews have a concession before he showed up. You guys got to concede on this and that. Probably because Trump's got all the money and they ain't going to give Israel any money and they're scared shitless of him. So he's really showing his power on this trip, the Ionic power. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Anybody see that? As a matter of fact, Phil.
What was interesting as well, Bob, was when he put his hand onto that orb, and I don't know if you saw that video, and it lit up that room. In the Saudi sort of, did you not see that?
Twitter page. I haven't been to his Twitter page the last couple of days. So he did that?
Yeah, he goes into a room with the Saudi king or whoever it is, and he puts his hands onto this glass orb, which lights up this room. And it's there. Their intelligence where they're monitoring all of the clandestine terrorist operations around the world.
They publicly say that's his apparent purpose. Wait, Nick, hold it. When you're talking, you hear someone talking, you stop right on a dime. You're saying that is what the public, you know, CNN said that's what his purpose was? The orb's purpose was surveillance?
No. Nobody knew what the purpose of the orb was, but when Donald put his hand onto the orb, and the Saudi king put his hands onto the orb, it lit up this white path that opened up this room. And behind these televisions or these monitors were all these Saudis sitting there furiously working on various aspects of who's being terrorized and where are the most recent threats in the world. So, and it's a massive sort of auditorium.
Did anybody explain that, Nick?
No, and that's why I'm asking. I thought maybe you'd seen it and that you could sort of put some sort of light onto this orb. It was quite crazy because if you go and have a look at that video, and it's on your website, on the Bob and Ion website.
Yeah, Carolyn's looking at it. May 22nd, So they're holding and looking at something. And
I was going to mention that date as well, the 22nd.
So the public doesn't know what it is. No, but Nick, shut up. Listen, when you hear a voice, don't talk and just don't hear. Yeah, maybe there's a delay with your thing. But as you're talking, listen for a response. Don't just listen to yourself talking. But you may have an alibi. You got a delay there. So is anybody explaining this fucking orb? you know, on the CNN level. You're saying no? Who's explaining it here?
I didn't read anything on it, Bob, no.
Okay. Inauguration for the Global Center, yeah, for combating extremist ideology. They are explaining it. Newly opened center has a large TV wall display ongoing extremism. You have to see if you're on it. Aims to come together to stop the spread of... So they're actually... Now, what, you know...
They've been watching Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise's movies.
Now, the journalists... But the journalists will point out that the Saudi Arabians fund the terrorists.
Yeah.
So they're monitoring themselves. Yeah. Like, you know, it's going to get confusing. But that's pretty amazing. I did see that title, Center for Combating Extremism. Yeah. Right, so you have here on the... Phil posts last night or sometime. He says, last night's terror attack here in the UK in Manchester was undertaken by a suicide bomber aged 22, occurred at 22:33 on the 22nd of May. Sadly, 22 people have so far died. So Bart says, what are you trying to say, Phil? Yeah, something there. You just can't quite put your finger on. He's laughing. So he's pretending he doesn't understand the 22 thing. So then Phil says, and the great Sir Roger Moore has also passed on today. He wasn't 22. Here's his best 2 minutes. The association with the great theme tune, that is, and then some theme tune. And then Bart says, on a side note, I watched the video of Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday. The video also showed Netanyahu's wife sitting next to Melania. I have to say there's something very genuine and sincere in both Netanyahu and his wife that really came through. Netanyahu's wife seemed polite and somewhat demure, and there was a genuine honesty I got from Netanyahu and something bordering on affection. I've heard that people who have met Trump really end up liking him. Anyway, it seems more and more like Trump is doing something new and is being diligent and sincere about it. Bob said, I unhumbled Trump by putting him through this presidential process. That statement just lends to something new and powerful unfolding here. Okay, so then... Bart says, I wanted to add that I found Ion punning on Trump as far back as 2010, I believe, in the Genesis recordings. Genesee, I think it's Ion pronunciation. Ion said, paraphrasing, we hope you aren't trumpled by this ascension. Bart says, right there, trumpled instead of trampled. Okay, that's pretty good. Then good. Phil says, the Donald is certainly impressing me. He's certainly impressing me with his Middle East trip, laying the ground for the return of the kings. He clearly has the Persians in his sights. I know Ion's covered them. What's the connection with America and Persian as was? I don't know. And then Roxy Music over you. I just love listening to this wonderful song in May for some reason, says Phil. Then Phil says, as for Mr. Netanyahu, I never used to like the guy. But since Ion came into my world along with the promises of Canaan land, it has changed my perspective of Benjamin. This one's for him. So he posts the song. Then I come on and all bets are off and everybody's excited about me and we forget about Trump. And no more posts about Trump. And someone says, 212 says the orb was a globe with a light inside it. So that's pretty interesting. What else? We covered that. Anybody have anything to say? Michael, you might have more back to Twin Peaks. But when you look at the machine, listen, I ain't stopping. You have to stop. I don't have to stop. Listen to this. The machine, you didn't notice the aperture science part, right? You didn't notice that.
No, but all that clicks into place the moment you started talking about it, Bob. It all suddenly comes clear.
You can't get more literal. If you're going to say, okay, I'm going to present Bob and I and then, you know, make some negative stuff, have a few explosions or something. But no, he just says, here's Bob talking to Ion. That's the opening scene. Then here's the other Bob, mean Bob from the past, killing people. And then here's No Time and Bob's record label, Time Again. And then here's the Aperture Science. I mean, it just goes on literally presenting it. You know what I mean? Step by step.
Yep.
Now, in light of this, Michael, is there anything in 3 and 4 that you now look at and it's now obvious in your mind that it's Iondom?
Well, it's pretty blurred for me I watched them all in a row, so it's hard for me to tell which is one, the division between 2 and 3, for example.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give anything away.
Okay, but, I was looking last night reviewing it. I couldn't find where part one became part two.
Yeah, it's made me completely relook at the condition of of him when he comes out the lodge. He's in a particular condition, but it's, and I'll be interested to see what you say about what's going on with him.
Oh, the way he is. Well, he got
the
part we've seen, the first exit, you know, where, I don't know, it seems Bob hasn't been returned yet. The deal hasn't been completed. But he gets exploded. You know, that's like a first session with Ion. You get your being exploded. So he, I see that, and then he ends up in the Aperture Science, and he doesn't know where he is. Let's see. And it implies, because they show the sequence of the couple starting to come up, that Cooper got changed into the demon that killed, came out of the machine and killed the couple, the copulating couple. You notice that they are showing Cooper coming in, and then they're showing that couple is just starting to come in the room. So they took us back a bit. So we don't know if the demon was Cooper or not. I'm just saying demon, literally, or whatever.
But don't you think it looks like...
It's fucking negative pH, it looks like, that's what it is. It's negative pH, Michael, you should laugh at that. The goddamn demon is just negative pH, you know, something can't be. Go ahead.
That demon looked a bit like an alien, one of the normal, the gray kind of...
Yep, the alien. First demon looked like first manifestation. It had little breasts, too, I think.
Yeah, like there's Crowley's Dan, little Dan demon.
RuPaul.
The demon Crowley that Crowley is? Mustered up. Yeah, the demon.
Oh,
the
did
demon,
he talk about transgender, multiple gendered people, demons? Is that what he said?
No, Aleister Crowley apparently, summoned up a demon that looks like a gray alien. And I think that's the first document.
Oh, not the male-female, not androgynous.
No. No, this was a gray alien-looking like creature. It looks very much like what was in that chamber.
Right. So in the Buckthorn, South Dakota, wonder how that connects. There was no apparent, other than the guy, the murderer, might have been Bob possessed. That may be the only thing. The bad Dale Cooper is involved with him because he kills the adulterous wife of Bill Hastings. So, yeah, he's there. He's in Buckthorn, South Dakota. But was there anything said? Yeah, it was funny, the woman, the fat woman who noticed the smell in the next room and her irritating, slow getting the key to the room in a very roundabout way, you know?
Yeah.
And the poor cops.
Yeah.
And Lynch was showing how cops have to be very patient, very tolerant, and tolerate this idiocy around them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a nice portrayal of maybe reasonable cops who are trying to be reasonable cops and not fly off the handle, but they're really like gritting their teeth as people act so stupid.
Yeah, I enjoy that he doesn't hurry through anything. I mean, everything is given its absolute moment, like saturated with its absolute moment, the way he films things.
Right. Now, the video you sent me of the Chromatics, that's not the song that was in the long stretched-out final 7 minutes, is it?
No, you see, I might be sending you songs, too, from part 3 and 4 that I didn't realize you hadn't seen.
Yes, I mean, the guys, the male band, I never saw them. They weren't in the first 2 hours.
They're in part 4. They're in part 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
A lot of these tunes. David Lynch is actually composing them, and the bands perform them. But so he's very involved in the musical side too.
Right. So Bad Lamenti is dead. Let me just check that. I think I heard he died.
Yeah, that's the overall theme tune.
He's still alive, so maybe he's helping make the music. That's pretty interesting. I thought he's the composer.
I didn't see him credited on any of the tracks of the music. I looked at all the musical credits, and Lynch is in there, and about half of them he's written songs with somebody else.
Okay. Bad Lamenti is 80 years old, and he was born on March 22nd, Mrs. Joyce's supposed birthday. Okay, so you've got the music, the dialogue in the Black Lodge is a lot of Iandam argument. And than the arm. I guess that's about it.
Also, Laura Palmer, he asks her, he says to her, aren't you dead? And she says, and yet I live, which is also the
like Lynch is trying to show that the death is definitely no death, but he's trying to show it the way Ion talks about it. You're still walking around in your chemical body almost, you know?
Yes.
You're in some body and interacting with areas. Yes, it's a very, very Ionic presentation of post-death conditions. And what she says, yeah, she says, I am sort of like Laura Palmer. I feel I know parts of her. And then she says later, I am Laura Palmer, but she would be another world. She may not be the dead.